That.
All right, thank you, Chair Wallet. Commissioner Kinney.
Present.
Commissioner Lampo.
Present.
Commissioner Lane.
Present.
Ooh. Commissioner McKenzie.
Present.
Commissioner Martin.
Here.
Vice Chair Ortiz Pino.
Here.
Commissioner Schwartz.
Here.
Commissioner Small.
Present.
Commissioner Walzat.
Here.
Chair Wellett.
Present. Thank you.
Commissioner Young.
Here.
And Commissioner Zagir. All right, let the record reflect that a quorum is in fact present. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stroop. That brings us to item number two, approval of the legal action report for September 4th, 2024. The chair would entertain a motion for approval of the legal action report. Sorry, that's a typo here on this. But the legal action report for October 23rd, 2024, the chair would entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Perfect. So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the legal action report for October 23rd, 2024, say aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed say nay. Hearing no nays, motion passes. So that brings us to item number three, ADU. Nope, this is the adaptive reuse public hearing text amendment. Would staff please give their presentation for item number three?
Yes, thank you, Chair Wallet. This is the text, the presentation on the proposed adaptive reuse and multifamily housing code amendment. This was something that was came before the commission last month for a study session. Just a little bit of a background to refresh on where this came from. This was the result of House Bill 2297, which was passed by the state of Arizona earlier this year. It requires municipalities with a population of more than 150,000 to adopt regulations to allow multifamily residential development or adaptive reuse of at least 10% of all existing commercial, office, or mixed-use buildings without requiring any discretionary review processes such as rezoning, special exception application, or other types of reviews. This must be, the city must be compliant with this by January 1st of 2025. City zoning regulations already allow for multifamily residential in commercial, office, and mixed-use zones. However, some changes are required for us to be fully compliant with the bill. So at their June 18th, 2024 meeting, Mayor and Council authorized staff to develop code changes to come into compliance with this bill. Staff determined that these changes are needed. And so following authorization, we began to identify what those changes are to the city standards to bring us into compliance. We also held a community meeting on October the 15th, 2024 to solicit public input on the proposed code amendment. And then, as I mentioned earlier, and as you're well aware, on October 23rd, the Planning Commission held a study session and set this item for public hearing this evening. A little bit of background on the community feedback that we received. We sought feedback. We conducted a virtual meeting on October 15th. We had about 45 participants total in that virtual meeting. There wasn't a lot of discussion. There were a couple of questions that we did receive from the public, which are detailed here. Number one was asking for clarification on how the 10% figure for eligible structures was calculated. Also, somebody was asking about the definition of affordable housing, which is consistent with what's already in our regulations. And then also, there's a question about how the proposed amendment would impact existing EPA requirements for hazardous materials such as asbestos, which it really doesn't relate to that, so there would be no changes there. We also did receive some comments in support of the proposed amendment from written feedback. So fairly minimal feedback, but it was certainly helpful for us to reach out to the community and see where they stood. So following that, you all held a study session on October 23rd. There were a number of questions relating to how the ordinance was set up, the proposed code amendment, including how it would apply under different scenarios, inclusion of the number of buildings for the 10% cap versus the 10% of eligible structures, if the standards could be applied to a proposed mixed-use category that is beyond what is required by the bill, inclusion of broader definitions, referencing requirements contained elsewhere in the UDC, so essentially tying in the proposed red line to other parts of the UDC, to ensure the code is set out, what we have in the code is set out by state law, and some other minor language adjustments where things were adjusted, or suggestions for things to be adjusted. And so, oh, thank you. Bad about that. I apologize, everybody. I'm so used to this, but based on that feedback, staff went back. I watched the Planning Commission meeting closely, detailed all of the comments that were received from the commission at last month's meeting, and went through those, and then met with the city attorney's office on proposed amendments. The feedback that we received from the city attorney's office in general was that this is a mandate. We want to stay as close, I'm paraphrasing, but we want to stay as close as possible to the language in the mandate so that we ensure that we're simply meeting the mandate here. And so there were a lot of suggested changes. Not a lot of those changes were made because of that. And there's some very specific language. Commissioner Martin, I know you suggested some language changes that made a lot of sense, but we went back to the bill and we looked at the language that is in the bill, and we needed to keep the language that was in the bill. So we really looked at everything that you brought back to us, but there were just, you know, some relatively minor changes that came out as a result. One of the larger things we looked at was if this figure of 10% should actually be the number of our analysis. And based on the discussion with the city attorney's office, we are recommending retaining the proposal of just the 10% in there. And the rationale for doing that is that is then tied back to the analysis that we conducted instead of putting the number in there, which may get lost. So if there's ever a legal challenge to this, then we would need to look back at the number within the analysis versus just the number in there. So it creates a bit of a paper trail of how we came up with that figure. So that's really the rationale for why we did that. We also moved some things around with regards to definitions, and we pulled our definitions back into a definition section in this red line that is only applicable to this red line. And the idea there is, again, you're essentially firewalling this code amendment to meet the letter of the mandate. Should that ever be challenged in court, the premise is that that would be closer to what the state is requiring rather than muddying the waters on some other changes that the city might like to make. Not saying that those weren't really good suggestions with things like mixed use and some other ideas. It's just because this is a mandate and it was very specific what was laid out in the bill, this may not be the best place to do that. But I do want to assure you that we've looked at everything that came from the Planning Commission very closely. You know, there were also some sections where, you know, it came to tying it back to the UDC, you know, reference this section or you know, that use table, things like that. And the thought was, okay, let's just pull this back to this. So again, it's just essentially a firewalled section. And so the red line ordinance that is in your packet is what the result of that review and analysis and consultation with the city attorney's office came out of. I will also like to point out in your packet, we did include the draft ordinance that came from the Arizona League of Cities and Towns, which had been requested. And that was included just to give you an idea of the feedback that we'd gotten from them, which was similar to what we did. We started with that draft ordinance, that model ordinance, but then we kind of massaged it into what we needed for our uses. So you've got that in your packet as well. One other item that I have, there was a question at the Planning Commission meeting, I believe from Commissioner Martin, about could you put a large bar in a C1 district with a mixed-use development under the provisions of this code. We did look into that. We do not believe that that is possible because the premise there is that if you're doing a mixed use, you would still need to provide or allow only uses that are permitted in that district. So since a large bar is not currently permitted in C1, you would not be able to circumvent those permitted uses through use of something like this. So I just wanted to note that one as well. And so following that, we've come back with the ordinance, the red line with the proposed changes. A lot of these are fairly similar to what you've seen in the past. To establish definitions, these are now primarily within just being applicable to this section for adaptive reuse, economically or functionally obsolete, or other components of the bill. Establish criteria for the qualified obsolete commercial buildings that this would apply to, and establishing standards for multifamily development and adaptive reuse of obsolete commercial buildings or mixed-use developments. I do want to talk a little bit more about, this is a little bit different just to clarify, multifamily development versus adaptive reuse. You know, the way the bill is set up, it kind of, it's a little bit confusing at the outset, but it really kind of, you know, comes together. But these are two separate things under the bill. You know, your multifamily development is just that. It's building multifamily housing on a vacant site. However, under the provisions of this bill, somebody can demolish what is existing on site, providing it's not designated historic, and then go ahead and construct multifamily development. This bill does give the right to do that as long as you're within one of those 10% structures. However, if commercial uses are included and you're doing mixed use or you're reusing a building or part of a building on site, then that becomes adaptive reuse. And so the adaptive reuse would allow for the partial but not complete demolition of an existing commercial office or mixed use building. So there are kind of some different demolition standards that are in place, and these are reflected within the red line ordinance. There are also some proposed changes to the criteria for obsolete commercial buildings or your adaptive reuse. This would be defined by the ordinance that we've discussed previously. This is your commercial office or mixed uses. These buildings are functionally obsolete or essentially partially vacant or in a state of disrepair. And they are located on a parcel. This is, you know, kind of important, I guess, in terms of the number of parcels within the city, but of 1 acre in size or more, but not less than 20 acres. So as we know, a lot of our commercial parcels, commercial office parcels in the city are small and generally less than an acre in size. So from there, we get into some of the provisions for parking and setbacks. These are generally pretty consistent with what's already in the UDC. They would already apply. There just may be some nuances when you start talking about mixed use, where like for parking, you may have to break the sum of parking spaces provided by use and require that versus just, you know, for one specific use. For multifamily, setbacks may not exceed what's in the UDC. And some for the adaptive reuse, the least restrictive of those existing commercial or mixed use apply. And I talk a little bit more about that in the next slide for standards for height and density also. Height and density for multifamily development, since your new development, shall not exceed the maximum allowable multifamily height and density for a multifamily zoning district in the city located within 1 mile of the buildings to be developed, or if that there's not a building within 1 mile, one that is located closest to the building, and height shall not exceed 55 feet. And again, these standards are, I'm not quoting verbatim in the slide, but within the red line, it's verbatim of what's in the act, just to again, provide that kind of clear direction. And in terms of adaptive reuse for height and density, if existing height exceeds maximum height allowed, it may remain and be considered non-conforming. A building may also be expanded to the maximum allowable density or height permitted if it currently does not meet those maximums. So essentially what that's saying is if your building is higher than is currently allowed, we can't or aren't going to require somebody to either tear down or shorten the building. It's just going to be allowed to continue as a non-conforming use. And if they want to expand it, they can essentially expand into the envelope of what's already permitted in terms of your density or your setbacks. And from there, that really covers what the changes are in the code as we're proposing it, or where changes were accepted, or if we recommend just keeping things the way that they're proposed. And so based on all of that, we get to our recommendation, which is that staff recommends that the Planning Commission approve a motion to recommend the adoption of the Adaptive Reuse Multifamily Development UDC Amendment to the City of Tucson Mayor and Council. So thank you, and I'm available for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Strew. Great presentation as always. So at this time, I would like to open this up for any questions from the Commission of Staff related to the information presented prior to the public hearing. Anybody have any questions? Commissioner McKenzie?
Since I missed the last meeting, I noticed in the bill, the House bill, this language of adaptive reuse means converting an existing building from its use that it was originally constructed to a new use by maintaining some or all of the elements of the building. And I didn't see that addressed anywhere. And maybe it is in an indirect way or some, but I was wondering about that. And then I also have a clarification about one of the documents.
So the it would be addressed within the definition of adaptive reuse in the red line ordinance, but we were discussing also some, you know, questions or concerns. What does some or all elements of the building mean,
right,
if somebody wants to leave a corner of a building? And we did discuss that internally and determined that that's really at that point going to be a determination of the zoning officer or possibly the zoning examiner if it really comes down to questions about what that means, simply because, again, the state doesn't define what that means either. So it puts us kind of in an awkward position. We don't really want to define something that we're being mandated to do, but aren't told what it means.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. The second thing is in going through the documents, the attachment C, outreach meeting summary materials, there's a discrepancy at the very end. In other documents, there was like, there's 10,000 of these buildings potentially, and then there's 1,000 when you do the 10%. It says there that there's 10,000, that is the 10%.
Okay, that is a oversight. It is not the 10,000 buildings.
I'm just pointing that out.
I appreciate
that.
Correct. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Commissioner McCancy. Are there any other commission questions from the commission? Commissioner Martin?
I just have one question. Under 4 on the second page, it says qualified obsolete because you don't define economically and but it's in the state statutes, economically and functionally obsolete. So is that definition is not in this ordinance or text amendment? It says qualified obsolete commercial building on the second page, but that's not the same language. So I
will certainly take a look at that. I'm not sure if that's a discrepancy within the act or if it was just language discrepancy, but we will look into that. Thank you.
Yeah, it's just one of the definitions at the end. So, basically it's the same language, I think, in your section, but you want to try to keep it copy and paste?
Yes.
Yeah, Commissioner Martin, thank you for that. Yeah, we can change it to functionally and whatever. we'll copy the language.
Economically.
Thank you.
It's just, words matter sometimes.
Thank you, Commissioner Martin. Are there any other questions for staff before we open up the public hearing?
I have one question. It says here that buildings located within the historic district or HPZs cannot be deemed functionally obsolete, but there's many that are underutilized and vacant. Could an owner propose a project and use this ordinance for a building located in a historic district?
I don't believe that they can actually utilize it within the HPZ or, well, hold on. There are other tools that they could potentially use, but as far as this tool goes, you wouldn't be able to.
And this is not a question, but I feel like I should always advocate for the idea that maybe we're missing an opportunity here to incentivize this sort of development. So it's already written in our code that this use is sort of compatible with the C1 zone, but is there not, opportunity here for us to look at way like this feels to me like it translates into more like homogeneous typologies of housing structures in existing box buildings. So is there some way to adopt a more open interpretation of this that is less restrictive than what the state is? Maybe I realize that the language is vague, but it seems like there could be opportunities in this process to contribute housing and mixed use needs that go more compatibly together when we look at the use standards that exist in the C1 zoning, like a golf course is allowed in that zoning. So it seems silly to not explore other uses that would pair well with housing.
So, Commissioner Lane, I think there's a couple things related to this. First is that because of the way the bill was drafted, it really limits kind of what we can do within the parameters of this bill. So because it's tied to buildings, because it has very specific definitions, specifically vague definitions, I guess, of things like adaptive reuse, it would be very challenging to take this and then try to make it into something that really functions well for the city. I will say that we have other efforts that the city is working on that do kind of get at the type of things that you're talking about. We are currently, and you'll have this in front of you in a probably, a month or so, we're working on our community corridors tool. That kind of addresses a lot of that mixed use multifamily housing stuff that you're talking about. So I think rather than try to shoehorn all of that into this, it might be better off just actually addressing it on its own, that type of thing.
I mean, if we're just adopting this vague language because the state says we're supposed to, are we creating a dysfunctional piece of the code then that like continually becomes problematic? So maybe the question is more like, can we find out how this accentuates some of those other efforts in a more cohesive way?
I mean, I will say this, that I think the applicability of this is pretty limited, because we do already allow for commercial, like multifamily within our commercial zones. If you were to utilize this bill, you would be required to have 10% affordable housing added to it, while as it is by right, you can go and demolish a building and build a multifamily development already within our commercial zones, which is basically most of this, other than maybe if there's non-conforming uses that on a residential lot. That's the only place that I think this would probably have some applicability. But again, I think that a lot of the other tools that we have, as well as some of the tools that we're currently working on, can help to kind of get at that. It's having something in your code just because the state, you know, has put this mandate down on you is kind of, you know, it's not the most useful.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where we're at.
Are there any other questions for staff? Seeing no other hands up, if I could now open up the public hearing to members of the public who would like to speak about this item. In general, there are 3 to 5 minutes to speak per speaker, which may be extended at the discretion of the chair. Members of the commission may ask questions of the speakers, but we do ask that each speaker be timely, as we want to make sure those who would like to be heard have an opportunity. We have not had anyone who has requested to speak ahead of time, so if anyone would like to speak related to the proposed multifamily residential development and adaptive reuse code amendment, you may do so at this time. Very good. Seeing no hands go up and nobody in the audience stand up wishing to speak on this, the chair would entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
Second. So moved.
We got a so moved and a second. at this time, I would like to open up a general discussion by the commission of the proposed UDC text amendment related to adaptive reuse and multifamily residential development. Any further discussion?
I just looked at the text from the state statute and this text amendment matches it. I think there's other tools in the city's code, especially the new community corridor tool, that are better places for things like that. So I don't think we should mess with the language the state wants us to use. So
thank you, Commissioner Martin. Any other discussion? Okay, well, with the completion of the discussion, I'm going to open this up for a motion to vote on a recommendation to be forwarded to the mayor and council. So may I have a motion?
Can we place the recommendation up on the screen? There we are. Yes, perfect. I will. Very last slide. There we are. Thank you.
So the chair would entertain a motion?
I'll do a motion.
Very good. Thank you.
I'll move to recommend the adoption of the Adaptive Reuse and Multifamily Development Unified Development Code Amendment to the City of Tucson Mayor and Council.
I have a motion. Can I get a second? We have a motion and a second. So all those in favor for recommending this item to Mayor and Council, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. Hearing no nays, the motion passes for a favorable recommendation of the Multifamily Residential Development and Adaptive Reuse UDC amendment from the Planning Commission will be forwarded to the Mayor and Council. That brings us to item number 4, PDSD staff announcements. Would staff please provide any updates to the commission?
Good evening, commissioners. I think our updates really relate to future agenda items. So we have a busy couple months ahead as we are close to bringing you our general plan update, Plan Tucson, and several other code amendments. So Dan will give you an update or an overview of those future agenda items for the next couple months.
So we have some good items coming up in the future. We have our community corridor tools that will be coming to you in December for a study session. Additionally, we were going to bring Plan Tucson to you for a study session as well I believe it's going to be December 18th. And then we're looking at, we have a couple neighborhood and area plan updates coming in the early part of 2025. So Menlo Park neighborhood plan and then Grant Alvernon area plan update as well. So yeah, we're going to have a busy kind of holiday time and whatnot.
On the Plan Tucson, is this the near final document, or is this like before the postponed hearings or whatever? Elaborate on that, please?
Yeah, of course. So we want to give you enough time to discuss, provide feedback. So this will be on the draft. So we'll have a study session, and then in the new year, we're planning to have another study session as well as public hearings for this.
So because it's such a large document and complex plan, we want to do multiple study sessions with the Planning Commission. So December will sort of be your initial introduction to the plan, and we will do a subsequent study session with more detail.
Very good. Thank you.
Just a quick question, Chair. Is the draft plan already available online for review?
It isn't available currently, but we will make sure that you're aware as soon as it is posted. We're looking for it to be posted soon.
Yeah. Commissioner Martin.
So if I recall, there were 4 or 5 public hearings on the general plan the last time. Is that?
So Commissioner Martin, yeah, we'll determine exactly what we need as we get to that point, but there are plans for at least 2 public hearings.
They were different parts of town, if I recall, so I was trying to get the most public input as possible.
Yes, of course.
And we do have to do a meeting elsewhere, right?
Off the state law says you have to have at least 2 in 2 different locations.
Very good. Thank you. Are there any other questions for staff before we open up the call to the audience?
Thanks for including a model of that. Actually was pretty helpful. Are you planning on doing that for the rest of the?
Commissioner Lampo, yes. If there are model ordinances, yes, we would be happy to do so. I will say this, the Arizona League of Cities has since gone back and looked at that model ordinance. I think they're going to be making some additional tweaks to it as they move forward. But yes, we'll make sure we do that when we have other state laws, including probably the middle housing bill as we bring that back to you next year.
So that brings us to item number 6, call to the audience. Paul, at this time, I'd like to offer the public an opportunity to speak on any subject that is not listed on the current agenda as a public hearing. If anyone would like to speak, would they please raise their hand or speak to let us know? Very good. Seeing no hands and no one jumping online, I will entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Oh, we got two. All right. I got a motion. Can I get a second? Bingo. Second. We're good. I don't even think I need a second for that one. But well, thank you all so much. And we will see you all in a couple weeks. Yep. All right. Sounds good.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm not sure.